Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
God is El Elyon. He is sovereign. Even when man does stupid, sinful, heinous, demonic things, God somehow still works out his overriding purpose in all of our lives. Make no mistake about it. He is El Elyon. He is sovereign. He is a God who is in control.
The truth is, God really does have the whole world in his hands. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, Is God in Control? And shares why you can trust that the sovereign God of the universe is taking care of you. So stick around. The Winning Walk begins in just a moment. Before we get to today's message, we want to help you find light even in your darkest moments by sending you Survive the Day, Thriving in the Midst of Life's Storms, an encouraging book by Dr. Young's son, Ben. In this transformational book, Pastor Ben Young offers proven strategies from his own experience to help you have peace in the midst of dark days. We'll send you Survive the Day as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We, of course, want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Is God in Control?
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the word for God there, to the surprise of anybody who would know the Jews, is a plural name for God. That's our word, Elohim. And it tells us that even though the Jews were strictly monotheistic in their faith, one God, they said it every day in the Shema as they would quote Deuteronomy 6, Shema, one God, one God. They were a one God people, but yet the first name for God was Elohim, which is a plural name. What does that say? It says that the Trinity was pre-existent, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the Trinity was involved in the creation. And that informs us that Jesus Christ didn't just come into being at Bethlehem, Christmas. He pre-existed. Colossians 1 tells us that he holds all of the solar system, all of creation, together. So we see our God is Elohim. And now we look at a second name for God. You see it posted up here. He is El Elyon. He is the God of everything. He is the sovereign God. He is in control of everything. Now, the problem that we have with this name for God is that we like to run our own lives, right? I like to be in control. Are you sort of a control person? Most of us are. I'll make that choice. I will go. I will handle it. It's up to me. And therefore, we are self-sufficient. And not God sufficient. Most of us pride ourselves. I'm self-sufficient. We hear that all. It's sort of a thing of pride. I'm self. I don't have to depend on anyone. I'm already self-sufficient. With no concept of being God sufficient. Therefore, most of us have a problem with P-R-I-D-E. Pride. Ego. Now, we're going to look at a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, who was Phi Beta Kappa in egotism. He was a megalomaniac. It strikes all of us, even when we're doing good stuff. Remember, a few years back, it was Christmas. I was exhausted, run out of bullets. We'd had 10,523 worship services on Christmas Eve. I heard of a family that had special needs way back in a ghetto, and I got some money together and some presents and took one of my kids with me. They were small, and it was cold and getting dark, and I went to that home and gave them a little money and some presents and food. And when I walked out, I said, "There are not many Christians who would go and do something like this." How subtle is our ego and our pride, even when we do good stuff? It's deadly. And God will cut us down because He is El Elyon, sovereign. Now, I want us to read together a scripture in 1 Peter. Go to Revelation, turn left. It's pretty good left. Chapter 5, and I want us to read the middle of verse 5 through verse 7. It's on your screens. Let's all read it together. Would you do that? Here we go. "Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you." Let's prepare for the teaching of the Word. Father, when we sit too high, we don't like it, but You cut us down. Today, we trust the Holy Spirit will deal with ego and pride that is hidden and lodged in all of us. Do a deep, profound work, we pray. Let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. A brief look at El, E-L. We're not going to exhaust our study, but when you see the name E-L, or the initials E-L, it stands for God. That E-L is mentioned 238 times in the Old Testament. E-L. We looked last week at the God of creation. He is El. Do you see it? El, E-L, Ohim, Elohim. And now we look at another name for God. I want you to notice it. It is E-L. E-L-Y-O-N, L-L. You've got E-L-E-L twice. You've got a double God there, right? In the Hebrew. You have God, God. And it's used for Almighty God, the High God. And when you have in Hebrew a double name, God, God, E-L-E-L, see it? E-L-E-L. This means the top of the top. There's no higher. He is sovereign. He is the boss. He is a God who is in control. Even when we see a heinous event, those individuals was killed by a madman. Obviously, the work of satanic powers in that sick young man. But we see in that situation where a judge was killed and other innocents were killed, and that little 9-year-old girl and a congressman was wounded. And so we have so many questions. And we'll not get the answers in this life, but we're thankful this life is not all that there is. The Bible tells us in eternity it'll all be sorted out, and we'll understand even the acts of evil in our day. Because God is El Elyon. He is sovereign. Even when man does stupid, sinful, heinous, demonic things, God somehow still works out his overriding purpose in all of our lives. Make no mistake about it. He is El Elyon. He is sovereign. He is a God who is in control. And so as we look at this, let's do a brief historical study just to see when this word is first mentioned. Look at the Genesis, the book of beginnings. And look, if you would, in chapter 14. The first time this name for God is used is by Melchizedek. Remember him? We studied Hebrews. He's that mystical-like servant of the Lord, Christ-like figure in the Bible. Look at verse 18, Genesis chapter 14. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and he was a priest of God Most High. There's our word, translated in English, God Most High. El Elyon, God Most High, the top of the top. He blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God." There's our word again, Most High, El Elyon, the top of the top. Look at it. "Who has delivered your enemies into your hand." So you have in verse 18, our word. You have in verse 19, our word. You have in verse 20, our word. And what is this priest saying? He's talking to Abram because Abram also worshiped El Elyon, the God who is sovereign, and Melchizedek also worshiped that, so they were in the same family. And he was reminding Abram as he was then, that you've just experienced a great victory, but not of yourselves. It was a victory as a result of him who is sovereign, El Elyon, the sovereign God. You think you've done something, you've accomplished something, you know something, you have something. It all comes from the hands of El Elyon. Remember when Jesus was before Pilate? Remember that? And Pilate looks at him and says, paraphrase, "You know, Jesus, the way you're responding to me, don't you know that I have the power to take your life or to spare your life?" Remember how Jesus answered that? He said to Pilate, "You have no power except that which was given you by El Elyon, he who is sovereign. He is the top of the top. That's the only reason you have power. That's the only reason any of us have life or breath or our heart beats another moment or our mind works for another second. It is a gift. It is in the superintendence of and the sovereignty of Almighty God, who is in control." Now we see the next time this word is used is just in the following verse there. It's used by Abram. Abram has experienced a great victory. He has bailed out once again his nephew Lot. Remember, Lot was the one who pitched his tent, and Abram was the one who built his altar. Everywhere they went, read the whole story of Abraham and Lot running around Israel there in the southern part. And every time you read his, they go to a new place. What does it say? Abram built his altar. Lot pitched his tent. Abram built his altar. Lot pitched his tent. So, but they were very prosperous. And so they divided up their flocks. And Abram said to Lot, "Lot, you pick out the land, where you want to live. Where you want your family to live." And Lot looked around, north, south, east, and west. He looked toward the Jordan Valley. That's the Dead Sea now. And he said, "You know, they've got that city there, those two great prosperous cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, and boy, there's fertile land there. I think we're going to head that way. That's where I want my parcel of land." Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. So many people make the choices as to where they'll live and with their families on the basis of sight. Where can I make more money? Where can I be more prosperous? Where can I have more entertainment? Where can I really express myself? Instead of the basis of faith, where would God have me to worship? Where is that community, that place where my life will count for significance and my family can be brought up in a church that teaches about? Where is that spot? You see, We see by sight and we see by faith. Lot saw by sight. And you're reading the Bible. It's a great, great, tragic story. It's a story of gradualism. You know the problem with gradualism? God doesn't say, the devil doesn't come and say, hey, I want you to go rob the bank in the morning. He says, no, I want you to pad your expense account. Everybody else does. See, he starts with the little bitty transgressions. You stay with him, he'll take you right down to the bottom. And so Lot, it says in the Bible, he turned toward Sodom. Then he moved toward Sodom, still pitching his tent, not building his altar. Finally, he moved in the outskirts of Sodom. And finally, him and his family moved right in the middle of Sodom. And then Sodom moved right in the middle of them. That's the way it happens, isn't it? We just gradually end up and, man, what happened? What happened to my morals? What happened to my ideas? What happens to my dreams? What happens to my purposes? What's happened to my peace? What happened to my sleep? What's happened to these relationships? And then we see as a result of this, Abram goes and bails them out. El Elyon gave him a victory. Abram wasn't small enough to defeat the king that had destroyed and taken the five-king coalition that had taken Lot and his family off. And now the king of Sodom, though Abram just saved his life, saved his whole being, he said to Abram, and by the way, he had no way to negotiate anything. He said, Abram, I'll tell you what, let me have the people that I'll be their king over back, and you can have all the spoils. Ooh, boy. Abram had it all. He didn't have to negotiate with him. But look what Abram said, and this is another use of our tremendous word about God we're doing today. He said, the king of Sodom to Abram, give the people to me and take the goods for yourself. Verse 21, Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have sworn to thee, there's our word, Lord God Most High, El Elyon, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread or a sandal thong or anything that is yours for fear you will say I made Abram rich. Abram said, I'm not going to let some pagan determine my destiny. Everything I have and everything I do not have and who I am and what I'm about, it's a result of the grace and the mercy and the benevolence of El Elyon, him who is sovereign. Now, you have this Most High God all the way through the Old Testament. But the place where I want us to look at is in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter number 4. Remember the setting of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar went down to Jerusalem, conquered the city. And by the way, chapter 1, verse 2 of Daniel really is the theme of the book. That's where all of Nebuchadnezzar, his boys, got in big trouble. They took all the stuff, all the gold, all the silver, all the vessels out of the temple and put them in the pagan temple there in Babylon. No, that was saying, my God's bigger than your God. We destroyed you. We've taken choice people from there. Then we've taken all that's valuable out of the place of worship. We've given it to our gods. Therefore, our pagan gods are stronger than this God who you say is El Elyon. See? But that was temporary, as we'll see. And remember, they took with them choice young men. We don't know how many exactly, but we know four names. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, remember, took them back and engulfed them in the culture of the Babylonians, taught them the Babylonian language, taught them the Babylonian traditions, gave them new godless names, pagan names, changed their names, and they were to be leaders of the Jews and also leaders in the courts. This is what Nebuchadnezzar did. And now we look in chapter 4 of Daniel. Is, by the way, in my opinion, one of the most staggering chapters in all the Bible. Chapter 4 of Daniel. You know why? It was written by Nebuchadnezzar. Every word of it. That'll shock you. Here's a godless, pagan, megalomaniac, despot, vicious, jealous, brilliant, powerful, a murderer, a warrior. He's written a whole chapter in the Bible. Can you believe it? But it's a great chapter. It's a fabulous chapter. It is Nebuchadnezzar's spiritual autobiography. He tells us about the, you would say, chess match over big stakes he had with God, because Nebuchadnezzar says, I am sovereign of everything I see and everything I touch. I'm in charge. I am sovereign. And El Elyon says, no, no, O king. I am God and I am in control of everything.
Now, before we wrap up today's program, Dr. Young is joining us in the studio to share more proven truth about God's sovereign control in the world. And Dr. Young, many people today struggle under stress and anxiety. How can knowing God as the one who's in control of everything free us from this weight?
God knows what he's doing. Where would you put the responsibility to free us from concern and free us of concern about how this world operates and how we operate in this world? Where would you turn if there were not a God? A God who is omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, everywhere. You've got a God who is omnipotent, all-powerful. Now, let me ask you something. What would you replace this God, this true living God, with? Who? What? How? We're in good hands. God knows what he's doing by his attributes that he has, by who he is. Someone recently said, someone really ill in their family, said, I'm having a hard time praying. God's will be done. I've been there too, many times, recently with the graduation of my own dear wife, Jo Beth. But I prayed and I believed through all that somehow God's will be done. He is sovereign. He is in control. So relax. If you're in Christ, God is in you and you're in God and all of you are together, God knows what he's doing. Take your calendar, put it together, 100 years, 200 years from now, and we look back and we say, oh me, the half was not told. I wish I understood that. Relax, folks. God knows what he's doing. That is his sovereign hand operating in history and the life of everything on this planet.
Very helpful. Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. And we hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. We'd love to encourage you with a powerful book by Dr. Young's son, Pastor Ben Young. It's called Survive the Day, Thriving in the Midst of Life's Storms. And he wrote it from his own experience of hardship to give you proven biblical strategies to help you surrender to God's care so that you can find peace and light even on your darkest days. You'll discover that once you stop wondering why me and start practicing humility and grace and surrender, you'll be able to rise above any storm life throws your way. So call now to request Survive the Day as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for joining us today on The Winning Walk. Tune in tomorrow as Dr. Young concludes his message with more on God's sovereign control of your life.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org. Give us a call at 1-800-350-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255, 9255, 350, 350-9255.